This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
This episode of 2BT is brought to you by...
Southern Bling. Southern Bling. You got a hat? I could put some glitter on that. Make it Southern. Southern Bling. Yeehaw! You want a cross on that? You want some glitter dots? You got some flip-flops? I could put some glitter on that. Welcome to Texas. Shiny flip-flops and hats with crosses all over them. Magic dough. If your Southern Bling hat gets broken, just get some magic dough. Magic dough will fix that Southern Bling. Shotgun Willis sits around in his own.
I've had a great disturbance in the force.
I have a very bad feeling about this.
Great adventure. In secret. Jedi craves not these things.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Go switch off!
This is the 2BT, 2BT podcast. Daddy and Dave are awesome!
I kind of snuck out, I guess.
Yeah.
It's bad when you sneak out of your own house and you're almost 44 years old.
My wife kicked me out.
Yeah, I was gonna
go
say.
To Dave's. Yeah, get over there. You're going to be late. You should go. Be there until late. You should go right
you
now.
You should leave.
What are you up to? Because she's in the Christmas shopping mode right now.
Yeah.
She's probably being
sneaky.
That'll
be me tomorrow. We're driving all the way to Bastrop tomorrow morning to see Holly.
Yeah.
And see her new apartment. They're coming back in the afternoon in time to swing by the outlet malls in Hillsborough because there's a, what do they call it? The Bath and Body Works? Yeah, that's my day tomorrow.
No,
yeah.
I got to go to Bath and Body Works yesterday. As me and a lot of ladies.
Yeah.
And I had to go because my wife came up with this way because they're selling their annual candle sale started. Christmas candle sale started yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a $24 candle. That's. They con people into thinking it's a better deal when they're selling it for $8. But an $8 candle doesn't sound good to me either.
No.
So I had to go buy some of those because, you know, you get the coupon on your phone and it's limited to a certain amount. And she had this whole... So I just went in, grabbed four candles, ran out.
Yeah.
And it was chaos. Yeah. I mean, the line was
you
not...
You forgot to pay, so they tackled you for stealing candles.
Well, no, I didn't pay. The line was all the way out to almost the exit of the
good
store.
God, dude. That's
and I just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
It's me. The only dudes that were in there is me. This guy that had a beard bigger than yours down to his chest, but fuller.
Yeah.
And he was about 4 inches taller than you.
Wow.
And he's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day. So.
Yeah.
And then there's this little old guy that he was just kind of following his wife around meekly in the store. We were the only three guys in the store.
Just beaten down.
All the kids like all that. Smell good stuff.
Yeah.
Even Jonathan and little Steve do. So it's like, you know, this outlet mall, it's like buy five, get one free or something like that. God.
Is that the one in St. Marcos?
No, it's in Hillsborough.
Hillsborough.
They have a huge outlet mall in Hillsborough, but it's like nearly every outlet mall anywhere else, they're all going broke. Like, you know, the ones in Gainesville, they're tearing down.
Yeah, they couldn't. They were for a minute and then just couldn't hold it.
There used to be a bookstore in there. I love going to like a Half Price Books or something.
There was
like
a
that.
KB's toy store in there that was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. Now they've got the movie theater up there by it.
Yeah.
They're actually going to tear them down, though.
Really? Yeah. They said that Jesse and them drove up there last week and said they were taking the roof off of them.
All right. Has she been over to the ones in Allen?
I'm sure she has at some point, but I've never been.
My buddy Ashley had been over there a couple of times and he was. Or not a couple of times. We went over there and went shopping at like some Reebok outlet. And he was telling me like, yeah, buy shoes is basically like buy one, get one pair for free almost. It was like buy one pair, get another pair for like $10. And then he's like, I need a pair of socks. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, they're generally like $20 for a pair of socks. But if you buy this pair and you buy this pair, then you get them for $15. Yeah. So it's like not $15 a piece, it's like $15. So you're actually saving money. You're getting a pair for free and you're saving an extra $5. Wow. And there was also like people wind up buying like a pair of shorts and stuff. And it's just like, dude, it's like they were just giving him stuff. Like, here, you can take this. Well, we'll just give you this stuff for free because it's old or something. I'm like, Lord, dude.
It's
like,
my kind of store.
Yeah, I know it, right? That's what I need to go do. Of course, it's like I remember buying a pair of jeans from a Levi's outlet and it didn't have a pocket.
Yeah. That's the way that stuff works. Yeah,
what do they call those?
The irregulars.
Or the seams. Mine's crooked. Size 34 and it's actually 28.
Yeah. Or one leg's longer than another. That was one that I'd come across before that I actually bought, and it was like the other leg, whenever I say the other leg was longer than the other, like it was seriously like a good like 6 inches. Like this leg is over here.
Really?
And this leg is like down here. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a bit much.
Get some scissors and the needle and thread out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just get those mom. Be like, Mom,
Pin them up.
Yeah, I got my snow speeder on the table.
I like that.
I finished restoring that guy.
It looks clean.
It is very clean because I took it all apart and cleaned it all up, and then
your stickers coming off though.
Yeah, man, I'm not too happy with those. Those are replacement decals. They're not original because it's impossible to try to find original decals.
Have you tried to put batteries in it to see if the electronics still work?
Well, yeah.
Do they?
Oh yeah. That's part of the restoration, man. The Falcon. Yeah. Falcon runs also. I just need some deep batteries for it.
So the little lighted guns on the cannons.
Yeah, because it's actually lights. In this part right here, you have lights. Where it comes up, makes this hump. You have a light, and it just kind of like doesn't really. That's not lights in there. It just travels.
Yeah, down. Just travels down. That's cool.
And then the actual part that makes noise is just a wheel that spins on. It's kind of like this one over here. Yeah. It's just a wheel that spins on the wheel that spins on a little electric motor that just rubs up against a piece of plastic. So it's like, same thing with the Falcon over here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's just it's my new one that I just finished. So it's like,
remember when we got those? One of the harpoon guns, one of them was bent.
Yeah.
Remember, like, it was molded wrong or something?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of those, like, a lot of these, like, Black Series figures. And what really cool way to fix that. So, hey, everybody, welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
Michael.
Steven.
And anyway, so we'll just go ahead and finish that thought up. If you're, like, a collector like I am and you have a issue, like, with your Black Series and you take them out of the package and the gun is kind of wonky, kind of bent or whatever, what you can do is you can heat some water up just to boiling. Take it out the stove while it's still hot, but not boiling because you don't want it boiling. Take that, you're going to want something to hold it with. I usually use a pair of tweezers. You take it and you hold it down in the water for about a good 30 seconds and then pull it out, and then it's nice and pliable. You can get it and straighten it out. And then I usually dunk it in cold water afterwards to kind of get it to harden back up or whatever. But yeah, you can just
tempering the figure.
Basically, yeah. It's plastic forge.
There you go.
Forged in water. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, man, that's cool. It's fun, man. Like I've got an X-wing that I got, and it's from the Last Jedi, and it's in the other room over there in the holding pen, the overflow room. And it's like whenever I got it, its guns were all sorts of wonky, and I need to do that to those, but I need a pan big enough that I can boil it, which I can use a casserole dish. I had to soak my toe in a casserole dish the other day, man. I didn't have a pan that's big enough to stick my foot down in. I was like, oh man, what the hell? Yeah,
that's a big pan.
I had to have a casserole dish. It was like, Jesus. Like, this is ridiculous when your foot's big enough that you have to have a blasted casserole dish to soak your foot in Epsom salt instead of having to use
a giant.
Yeah, well, I always tell everybody, they're like, dude, you got big feet. And I'm like, yeah, I'd look stupid with freaking small feet, though.
You would look really
stupid. Like, right?
You wouldn't be able to stand up pretty much. It'd be really easy to knock you over.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Just see me falling around all over the place. Oh, wind got up. Changed direction just for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you guys been up to this week?
I can't remember this week.
Yeah. Or sleeping, work, repeat.
Yeah. That's about right. What are we down to on the official count for TLJ?
Today is the 3rd, so it comes out the 14th. So you get 11 days.
Let's see what the old...
Wait, hold on.
It's 173 days until Solo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars Episode 9, 746 days.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's not think about that distance.
Yeah.
Come on, update.
I don't understand with them how long ago they wound up getting rid of
11 days, 5 hours, 53 minutes, and 50 seconds as of this.
All right. By the way. And now subtract another hour because we're going an hour early because we get the 6 o'clock True. Fan experience okay. or whatever.
Yeah.
All
right.
So yeah, I figured it out. That is too, like the 7 o'clock starts. But yeah, we're an hour early. So,
okay. Well, the 6 o'clock is just the whole fan experience. Yeah. Or something like that, right?
I don't know exactly what that's supposed to be. I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of excited to see what it is because I know that it's, says something about like deleted scenes or something like that. Oh, so really? I don't know if they're actually going to show deleted scenes on the like big screen or if it's going to be deleted scenes from that. I could look it up. There it is.
Let's just be surprised. No, let's find out.
Yeah.
I need to know.
I almost got spoiled on something big about Carrie Fisher's last scene.
Really?
And I had to turn off the show I was listening to real quick because I'm going on here on
that. Yeah, I don't need to.
I'm watching anything.
No, so while he's looking that up, what's your prediction? What's going to happen? Because we know she's not going to be in the episode 9. Is her demise going to be written into this movie? Have they changed it?
I don't know what to...
Or is it going to be written into the crawl, the next one?
I don't know what to expect, really.
I've got no clue. What do you want to see?
I'd like to see it in the actual movie, I think. I don't want it just left out for the crawl.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I would like to see something like, you know, at the very end, her starship runs into a... I don't know. You know, maybe the nav computer goes down. They fly into a sun. You know,
the thing is, they might.
I don't know.
I mean, it's unfortunate she died, but they'd already finished shooting the movie. What if it would be a weird coincidence that she actually died in the movie? Anyhow,
right, right.
It's possible.
It is very possible.
Well, they could always change the story because every movie. And we were talking about that earlier with Rogue One with the reshoots and stuff. And that's what got me is like everybody was freaking out whenever Rogue One did the reshoots, and I was like, well, every movie does reshoots. A lot of movies do, yes. Like, so many reshoots that it's, like, 6 months of reshoots, you know, that yeah. they usually schedule in just for it. And it's like, cool your jets, man. Everybody's freaking out. And, you know, everybody's got their own theories on it. And, you know, like, we were talking one time, is Gareth Edwards had been not necessarily replaced, but kind of replaced, and they had somebody else come in and do the reshoots for him. And my theory on that always was is that he had turned in the first movie that would have received an R rating from the NPPA or whatever it is, or MPPA, or was it National, or MMPA, I think.
Yeah, MAPPA.
NMPA.
There you go.
NMPA, National Movie Motion Picture Association.
What's TBT for this week?
That's a good question, man. I didn't really come up with it.
Two broke Texans.
It sounds about right. Yeah.
Three BT, three Christmas broke Texans this week.
Two broken tacos. Everybody's disappointed then.
Brisket tacos. Oh, we're hungry now.
Dude. Yeah, you start talking brisket tacos. Hey, let's go.
I'm totally game for going and hitting up some fuzzies after this, if you want to. There's a fuzzies at Sanger. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the first time somebody asked me about fuzzies tacos. There's actually for those that don't know, there's actually a joint in like the North Texas. And I think they're
started
kind of spread
in
out.
Worth, I believe.
Yeah, it started next to TCU.
Yeah.
It's a joint in Texas called Fuzzy's Tacos, and they have awesome tacos. They have a lot of awesome. If you ever go like get some nachos, man, you'll have the giant, most giant mound of nachos you've ever seen on your plate.
Special ground beef burrito.
Yeah.
Have them drench it with queso on top.
Yeah, dude, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember I was coming out of a QT, the gas station, and a dude asked me, he goes, "Hey, where's the fuzzy taco?" I turned around and said a few choice words. Like, I won't say it here because we try to keep it clean. Yeah. Or you can just edit me. So I told him to shut the up. I thought he was being a dick.
Between your last legs, I swear.
Dude, uncool.
Yeah, he just turned and looked at me, and he's like, "What?" And I was like, I didn't realize
you weren't in.
I didn't realize it.
I've always wondered, like, where the hell did they get the name for that? Is it?
Well, I can tell you where they got the name from.
Is it what I think it is, or is
it intentional? College?
Yeah,
thing?
I mean, it was one of those things that we're going to have one shop, but everybody loved it. Now they branched out, and they're kind of stuck with the name. They're like,
Yeah. But yeah, the Last Jedi, the opening night fan event, Star Wars The Last Jedi is the official, I guess, what they're calling it. Yeah. It's exclusive content, collectible trading cards, and free small popcorn. Oh. So I was like, yeah.
Trading cards?
Yeah.
Now you're talking my deal right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Did y'all have those trading cards? I did. I wish I had them still. I've actually found some over the years.
Yeah. But,
I had them back when you actually just bought them and opened them up. And,
I got a great big folder full of them. The recent ones, though.
Yeah.
But Dave and I do have a complete copy of the Burger King cards that came out.
I'm not sure when those came out.
I don't either, but they're uncut. They're like sheets of three, yeah.
I think those were a promotion that was between, maybe after Return of the Jedi. I can't remember if they did those before or after the glasses.
I'm trying to remember who was, what's on the cards. I don't know.
I got them. They're right over there somewhere on that bottom shelf with a bunch of the paper stuff or whatever. I just moved a bunch of stuff over there onto that bottom shelf earlier because I was like, oh crap, I looked where Mike recorded and I realized that he didn't have a whole heck of a lot of space. I was setting up your mic earlier and I noticed that you didn't have a whole heck of a lot of space behind you. And I was like, I don't want him to feel like he's like closed in, but yeah.
Well, really, he just didn't want you breaking those expensive lightsabers.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I gotta get some hangers for those, but those hangers are expensive. But yeah, I got something I'll show you. I was going to go grab them real fast, but I'm kind of pinned in unless I can get Steven to scoot up here.
No, I can get up and move out of the way, but this gut, there ain't much scooting.
Y'all just talk amongst yourselves.
I did a tweet the other day for the 2BT, and it's like the only podcast that can, that can boast almost half a ton of Texas.
That's exactly it. We need to figure out how to work that into it. Three big Texans. If you split us up, there'd be enough for five or six.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. I'm getting real close here.
It's okay.
Oops. Sorry, Sal.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Those blue ones.
Yeah, dude. Blue and yellow. See if I can get back in here without knocking anything over. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, man. I had a buddy of mine. Just give me those. He was a part owner of a place in Denton called Freaks and Geeks. And they got all these vintage cars.
Was that the old house?
Yeah. And they've got, I think they specialize in like video games now or whatever.
Yeah, I went in there and I was looking for comics one time.
Yeah. But they're all like, I'm not sure exactly. I need to go through and see if they're almost complete collections. I'm pretty sure this blue one down here on the bottom is complete because that's a ton and there's a bunch of duplicates.
There's a lot of these yellows. A lot of these yellows are duplicates, like you said,
man. Yeah, yeah.
Look at that one.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's an advertisement for the Close Encounters of the Third Gun.
Close Encounters of the Third Gun, yeah.
Part of the fun of these back in the day was, because we talked about how there was no way to watch it unless you went to the theater.
Oh,
part of the fun was, you know, opening it up and, oh, yeah, look at this, the Millennium Falcon, and then it talks a little bit on the back about it, and you learn stuff. Kind of like fuels your fire for the movies.
Oh yeah!
While you're waiting for the next one to come out,
I would tell you to real quick if you can stand up and look right behind those vintage figures. There's probably something there that I know that you've seen before, and you know you've used it, but you haven't seen it in a really long time.
Ooh!
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, movie viewer.
Yeah,
Star Wars. May the Force be with you.
Yeah.
Oh,
I picked that up. I think it was like 50 cents.
Oh, this is awesome!
Yeah.
Oh, that's wicked.
Yeah.
How long is the little?
It's not very long. It's maybe like 30-45 seconds of the movie, if that much. Maybe a minute.
Am I going the wrong way?
Yeah. I don't think it really matters. You can watch it in reverse if you want to, though.
No, that's crazy.
But yeah, it's a little movie viewer thing, and you can. Yeah, again, like what we were talking about, whenever you couldn't see the movie back in the day, you know, you had these things like that little viewer thing. And they sold like different cartridges, cassettes for it, basically, that you swapped in and out, and it had like a minute or 30 seconds of the movie, and you sit there and you crank it and, you know, got to watch part of the movie or whatever. Almost like what was that thing? The viewfinder? The magic viewfinder? Yeah, what was that thing? The little clicky, real
viewfinder.
Yeah, viewfinder, that's it, yeah.
You do the handle and it, like, rotated.
Oh, yeah.
And then the rest of the time, you're just running around pretending you're Han Solo or Luke Skywalker.
I'm going to be Luke today.
Yeah.
That one's awesome.
Yeah, that one is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the Steve's into the Empire Strikes Back cards.
Yeah. Trading cards are my thing, man. Dave collects this stuff. I try to get as many of these as I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. I love them.
Oh, speaking of which, I was going to bring up something about Celebration. Yeah. And Steven and I have got a question we want to propose to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're going to catch you off guard here. You should go to Celebration with us in 2019.
2019. Yeah. So you're giving me some time to prepare.
You got ample time to prepare.
Yeah.
It's going to be, my guess, they haven't said where, but my guess is either Anaheim or Orlando. Mm-hmm. Because 2019 is also when the Star Wars Land opens up at Disney.
Oh,
yeah. So, my thought is that they'll be coinciding Celebration with the opening.
If it's on par with the way they did the Harry Potter world down in Universal Studios in Orlando, that place was amazing.
Yeah.
When you walked in there, you really felt you were
in Harry Potter land.
Everything, the details so good.
Yeah. I've heard that about that, man. Mm-hmm. Whenever I went to Celebration this last year, I got to spend like almost every night at Disney. But then again, I had an inside man at Disney that was getting me in free like every day or whatever. So it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I will say that I really like Disney a lot. And like I said, I think the things that I learned about Disney was one of them is nobody pays attention to their kids. They just let them run rampant.
Yeah.
I ran over some poor little kid my last day there because I couldn't stop. And it was just the pure fact that their parents had their faces in their phone trying to get, I guess, fast passes or whatever.
Right.
I'm not even sure. It was like 8 o'clock at night and it was already dark. And it's kind of like one of the less lit areas of the Magic Kingdom or whatever, because you walk between light to light and light to light or whatever. And, man, this kid just comes running right in front of me. And I couldn't stop, dude. I'm in midstream because her and I were taking off. We were getting out of there. I was freaking tired,
It's not an inside man.
Yeah. Inside female. Inside woman, I guess.
Man.
But, yeah, she doesn't work there anymore, so I don't have an inside there. But, yeah.
Well, since you brought up the Celebration, do you want to get into one of the questions we got?
Oh, yeah. What was the question again?
Anyway, Celebration 2019. You want to go?
Yeah.
Do I want to go?
You should do it, dude.
That's a yes. Can I go?
Yeah.
We'll wait and see.
Well, can you go with us, please?
You can always invite the boss. You can get the boss and stuff like that to come out there.
We can see.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Well, so we could do update podcast after the convention.
Because yeah. I don't know if, Celebration would be something that she'd be interested in going. Because whenever I say, like, my best way of explaining Celebration to people who's never been is you're basically in Star Wars land for 4 days. And it's just everywhere you look, it's something different Star Wars. I mean, you might come across something, a lot of people do like the mashup costumes and stuff like that. Like I saw this really cool. One of my favorite ones that I saw this last year was a Snow White Mandalorian. So a chick had actually taken a Mandalorian armor and then she had done it like Snow White style. And even whenever she took the bucket off, her hair was done like Snow White and makeup was done and blah, blah, blah. It was really cute, man. I was like, that's pretty awesome. Really, really awesome.
I remember the Muppet Troopers when we were out there in 2012.
Yeah, those guys were dicks.
Yeah. Let me read this because you're already starting to touch on it.
Okay.
Awesome guy, Nick, sent us a question. He said, 2BT show is damn fantastic.
Awesome.
He lives up in Chicago. I've interacted with him before. And he said, I want way more details about Star Wars Celebration. The more, the better.
All right.
And he also wants a video tour of the Star Wars room.
All right. Video tour of Star Wars room will come. I'm going to do pieces. I've been kind of thinking about that. I might do pieces at a time.
I think you could do like the opening shot, show the room.
Yeah.
Because you can't take it all in.
Yeah.
And then maybe I was going to suggest like you could do a shelf and like, kind of do a few figures at a time.
Yeah. Well, see, I was thinking about maybe doing like a shelf a week or something like that, or a shelf a day type thing or whatnot. Granted, like my Star Wars collection is nowhere near some of the people's Star Wars collections, but I'm proud of it. I like mine a lot. I was going to say, like, some dudes.
This is something to be proud of.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, like, some dudes, you know, some guys are larger than
some
others.
Guys collect porn, they collect Star Wars.
But, Celebration, man, like.
Can I?
Yeah, yeah.
You might have my answer since I've only been to one.
Yeah, I don't care. You go ahead.
And I'll give you my opinion on it and how I felt walking in my very first time. And
yeah, dude, knock you yourself out.
Knock out you. The rest of it.
Oh, yeah. I talk too much anyways. You go
ahead. No. That's not it. I just, being as a person who's been to one, and mine was in 2012, it's just, it starts off as just a normal vacation. You're going somewhere to hang out until the first day when you walk in. And as you walk in to get in line, you start passing 501st Troopers in full armor.
Okay, what's the setting?
It's that just held at in Orlando. It's at the convention center in Orlando, and it's
the second largest convention center in the world.
Okay. But you don't know how big it is until you get inside.
Yeah.
When you walk in, it's just like walking in any other convention center. You walk in a lobby, you walk down a hallway, you walk into a massive hall with lines going everywhere. Yeah. And there's probably, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in line already?
Yeah.
And there's other 501st. The 501st was actually directing traffic, air quotes, traffic.
Yeah, explain who the 501st are for people.
501st is a, Dave could probably explain it better, it's a costume club that they
costume organization.
And costume organization. I'm sorry, guys.
No, you're good. You're good.
They, the requirements are what? Screen accurate?
Screen accuracy is the requirements. They have some of the, they're very, very, very strict on the requirements. Almost to, anal proportions, I guess. they're super, super, super strict on their requirements. But, they are actually licensed by Lucasfilm to go out and do events and stuff. And a lot of times they actually have to get Lucasfilm's permission to go and do events. Yep. And,
and their screen accuracy shows.
And they are.
Because you cannot distinguish them from what you see in a film to what you see in person.
What about say their accuracy? They even go about like the seams and stuff like that. The stitching.
And the lights. And a lot of them will have the voice quarters inside when they talk. Yeah.
Well, they have to have that.
Cool thing at Scarborough Fair. I wonder if these guys, because they have the like full on stormtrooper.
Oh yeah,
they were walking at Scarborough Fair in character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like they had been somehow teleported to Middle Ages.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
Well, it was a long, long time ago, so it could have taken place there in medieval times.
Just got zapped into our galaxy.
Yeah. Somehow.
But anyway, we walked in, and we're walking down this long hallway to get to where we get in line. And there was a biker scout there with his sniper rifle. And he's sitting there saying, move along, move along. Mm-hmm. And we're in a herd of people. And I was like, holy crap, that's kind of cool, Dave. So I got a picture with that one. And then the next one. And then the next one. Then we finally got in line. Well, I didn't know that I can't take a picture with just every cool thing we see there because there's just too much.
Yeah.
Too much. But when you get in, it's like this massive... I can't even begin to tell you how big it is. It's like a football stadium indoors.
Yeah.
It's big. Really? It's big. And you just don't know which way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, there's Mandalorians, there's clone troopers, there's stormtroopers, there's Jedi, there's Sith. But the coolest ones are the stormtroopers because, I don't know, I shouldn't say that. That's just my preference.
Yeah, gets to the point where you almost get tired and you're like, yep, that's another stormtrooper.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like, you know, Imperial officers, rebel troopers.
Yeah.
And then they have all sorts of shops, people selling stuff, handmade goods, crafts. Yeah, it's
all sorts of vendors.
Man. And it's sensory overload for 4 days.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I went to the Dallas Fan Days 1 year, and I was just overwhelmed with it, and that wasn't big.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that's big compared to most cons or anything, but it was overwhelming to me, just the amount of just pure stuff just piled up in there.
Oh, yeah.
It's you walk in, you don't know where to go.
Right.
You know, what do you do? What do you do first? Then on top of that, you have all these panels that you can go to, too. And it's like, oh, man, I really want to go check out this aisle right here because I see a cool B-Wing down there I want to look at. But, man, Warwick Davis is having a panel starting in 30 minutes or something, you know? And it's...
Do those cost extra or are they part
no,
of
the panels are free? Well, and that's a good question because I know NYCC, I think this last year, did it where they... charged extra for certain panels or whatever if you wanted to go to this. But you had like a menu whenever you went to pay for your pass. You had these menus that you could choose from, which actually I will say I don't mind it. I know a lot of people are completely, totally against that. because, you know, and this is what really sucked about, it's not like I was disappointed, so I'll just go ahead and say that, but one of the bad things about this last celebration in Orlando, if you wanted to go to a panel, you basically had to stay there all night long. If you wanted to go to one of the major panels, you had to get in line the night before. Like, there was people that were going to panels, and then they would just go and hop right back in line for the next day. And then they were
spending, just stay there all the time.
And, like, dude, I'm 41. I'm not going to sit there and sleep on concrete overnight, you know. I'm paying for a blasted hotel room.
Right.
And so it's like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to sleep in that bed. Yep. You know, it was a giant bed all to myself. It was beautiful. It was like just amazing. And, you know, these people, they were staying all night, and they got to go to like the premiere panels. I got into the overflow room for the Last Jedi. So I got the poster. And then, dude, like, there was people, like, the poster was just crazy, because it's a beautiful poster, and I really need to get that framed, but then again, I got other artwork that I got from there that I need to get framed up as well, but, it, immediately, as you walked out of that room, people were trying to snatch posters from people. Oh, yeah. Mine almost got stolen out of my backpack, but this was also, granted, this is not stuff that usually happens at Celebration, but this poster was, like, super sought after, and usually, like, Star Wars fans are super cool, man. Like, that's one of the great parts about Celebration is that you're going to stand in line. That's all there is to it. You're going to stand in line. You're going to stand in line for probably an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe even more. But you make friendships and camaraderies with the people around you because you're just talking, because you're all, like, fans, man. And it's just, you're all fans of the same thing. And you're all in there, and you're all there for the same reason. And it's just fun, man. Like, I go to Celebration, I usually wind up making like 8 friends that I wind up adding on Facebook and then keep up with them or whatever.
Right.
You know, and it's just a good time. Like, this last year, first opening day of Celebration on Thursday, the Celebration had received a terroristic threat. And it showed with the security. You know, they had metal detectors and explosive sniffing dogs all over the place. And the first day to get in, we were in a line that was over a mile long, and it took us over 2 hours to get in on the first day. Granted, they fixed that the next day by bringing in more metal detectors and things like that. But, like, I went with my friend that worked at Disney to pay her back for letting me use her free tickets. I bought her a Thursday pass to go to Celebration. So
you're so nice.
Yeah, so on that Wednesday... On that Wednesday, we went and picked up our pass. And as we were walking in, I saw the metal detectors. I was like, oh, crap. And she goes, what? And I was like, we're going to have to go through metal detectors tomorrow? She goes, it looks like that. And I was like, dude, this line is going to suck tomorrow. And, like, I can't even try to explain it, because with Steven, I can explain it to him, because it's, like, on the far, I'm not sure if it's, like, the north side, but on the far end of the building, the line came out and around it. And all the way down and all the way down the back end, it came around all the way to the side and all the way down to the back end of the convention center, and was starting to loop around the other end of the convention center, wherever of traffic finally started moving. Like, yeah. And the convention center is huge. Like I said, the line was over a mile long, and I checked it because I was wearing a Fitbit at the time. And, like, I checked it when we got in line. And that was just from one point where we walked up and said, oh, crap, this isn't the end of the line. This is just a break in the line because of the road there. So you actually had to walk all the way back around. And I checked it at that point in time and walked all the way to the back. So it was like, oh, wow. Yeah, it was just insane. But, you know, the rest of the days they opened had wound up getting more metal detectors and things like
that. What's your normal? So it's 4 days?
Yeah. Yeah, it's 4 days.
You go every day?
I go every day. I do the 4-day pass every day.
And what's your typical days broken down into? I mean, can you fill up with your time in 4 days?
Oh, hell yeah.
Even in 4 days, you'd be like, you don't see everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or I did, but that's just me.
Yeah.
We stayed to nearly closing on Sunday. Actually, they were running us out that Sunday.
Yeah, they were running everybody out. I always stay at the time to where they start, you know, running people out on the last day, because that post-celebration blues starts to set in, because they're saying, you know, Celebration is now closed, please leave the building and all like that. And the security personnel starts walking around, scooting you on out. And
Dave's underneath the table trying to hold on.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't want to leave.
There with the 1/6 scale AT-AT, like, holding onto the leg. Like, you can't make me go. You can't make me. And that's what's cool is the, I think it's the Dutch Garrison or something like that of the 501st builds all these almost like 1-to-1 scale props.
Oh.
And so there's, they've got like a, they've got an AT-AT, they've got a TIE Interceptor, I've seen a TIE Fighter, there's other sets like the, indoor, bunker. The, you know, from Return of the Jedi where they blow bunker up. Yeah, there's that and just a bunch of other sets. Now, granted, I'm giving it all the credit to them. And I'm probably not even, don't even have the correct garrison. But yeah, it's just, when I say like you walk into Star Wars land, you walk into Star Wars land. Yeah. And it's just amazing. It's something that's, it's hard to explain. But yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event, man. And it's you know, it's one of those things where if you're any lot of a Star Wars fan, I suggest that you go at least once.
Right.
Just so that we can check it out.
That's the Orlando Convention Center.
Yeah.
1 inch is a mile on that right there.
Wow.
It's big.
Yeah. And I can probably show you. I'll show you on the map there later on where that line stretched to. Yeah.
That's what I was showing him.
Yeah.
So yeah, the width of your thumb is 1,000 foot, so it's what, half a mile long.
Yeah,
it's huge, dude, and it's full, and it's also what, 3 stories?
Four, I think.
3 or 4 stories, and they had panels on all different stories, different things, different collectors' rooms, like the 501st room, I think it was.
Yeah,
was on the second floor.
Yeah,
501st room. And that was cool. They had a bunch of old
droid builders.
Droid builders was on the second floor. Yeah. It's cool. It's worth the money. It's worth the effort. It's worth the time.
Yeah.
Buy good shoes. Get a camera.
Yeah.
Do they have a cantina? Like a,
they did the first time I went. That was that's the one thing that I was disappointed with is that I've been disappointed with. The first time I went to Celebration 5, and that was in Orlando also. And they had this cool thing set up. It was their 30th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back. That's my badge for it right there, actually. But yeah, it's even got the little 30 logo.
But it was the one we went to.
Yeah. And it was, they had this really cool thing set up that was called the Hoth Ice Bar. And so whenever you walked in, there was like ice sculptures and it was kind of like foggy, like they hadn't had the fog machines going on or whatever. And you could actually get alcoholic drinks inside the Hoth Ice Bar. They had a big wampa on the outside that was like,
rah! Oh, really?
Yeah. It was rad, dude. It was really, really cool. And it was upstairs and they had it in a room that you could look out over top the convention center and stuff. So yeah, it was pretty neat, man. It was really cool.
It was cool. So
yeah,
I can't wait to go. Yeah. I think it'd be fun if we all went. We could split the hotel room 3 ways.
Yeah, it makes things more fun. We'll see what I can work out.
We'll get there. It's fun. And if it's in Orlando,
we might have to order a fundraiser.
Yeah. We order Uno's pizza.
Oh.
Dave and I ordered pizza that one first night.
Yeah.
And we're like, ah, we don't want Pizza Hut or Domino's. We get that all the time. We found this thing in the phone book called Uno's. Said, all right, let's call them up. What do you want? I want a pepperoni pizza. Me too. You want one or two? He says, both of us, we're pretty hungry. Let's get two. So I call Uno's. Says, it's Chicago style pizza.
Oh. Yeah, the deep dish pizza.
Deep dish pizzas. We want 2 pepperoni deep dish Chicago style pizzas. Dude's okay. Comes to the door, and I think it was like, what, $40 for it?
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. But
really?
Okay, yeah. Whatever. You know, we're on vacation. Hand the dude $40 or 40, whatever. It was like $35. Hand $40, keep the change. Hand me the pizzas. I nearly dropped them.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They were freaking probably, what, 5-10 pounds a piece?
they're heavy, dude. Oh.
Yeah. So we're like, wait a minute. What's going on here? You get them in and open it. The pizza's like this thick. And I'm
it's like a brick.
Yeah, it's what?
About 3 inches
three
thick.
3 inches thick.
Yeah.
And it's probably this big around, normal large pizza size.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he ate. I had 2 slices and I was so full I couldn't stand it, dude.
Oh, well, and I will say that the reason why we did 2 pizzas is because it's like you get pizza and you have pizza for dinner,
breakfast,
then you have pizza
lunch
for breakfast.
And dinner the next day. Yeah, we were thinking ahead here.
Yeah. But dude, it was like, wow. It was.
You probably had enough to take home.
Yeah.
Yeah, we left pizza in Orlando.
Yeah, we left pizza.
Dude, it was crust.
Who knows?
Sauce.
Yeah.
Cheese.
No, it was
pepperonis.
Crust, cheese, sauce, pepperonis, and then a little sprinkle of cheese.
But it was layered, dude. It was like a pizza on top of pizza on top of pizza on top of pizza.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And it had like chunks of tomatoes where they make their own tomato sauce and stew them. And
we do that. That's, we made our own deep dish pizza, and that's the best.
Yeah, dude. I will say, like, who knows, it's pretty awesome, but after going to Chicago, I do have a preference on Chicago pizza. And that's Giordano's or Giordano's. I like saying Giordano's. Everybody always corrects me. I don't care, but it says D-A-N-O.
Well, we can look for that in the phone book.
Yeah, it's there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I had Giordano's whenever I was there in Orlando this last year. So yeah,
forget N-O's.
Yeah.
Come on, Giordano's.
Well, we can do both. You know, if it's in Orlando,
we also had a Chinese buffet.
Yeah, if it's in Orlando, it might be in Anaheim. But I'm thinking it'll probably be Orlando might be a permanent home for now. Just because, to me, the convention center, because I've been, like, I went to the one in Anaheim that was in 2015, and the convention center in Anaheim, where it's really nice, it's not big enough. They hold D23 at the same convention center.
Right.
And it's just...
That's a picture from out there. I'm looking, I thought I had more on the internet, but that's the only one I can find.
Yeah.
Darth Vader's behind you, Steve.
And Grand Moff Tarkin. We were in line to take our picture with the...
Is that the Rancor?
The Rancor.
Roxy the Rancor.
And they came up and asked us, hey, do we mind if we slide in front of you? No, I don't care.
Yeah.
This pretty much looks from this picture, and it's not that big of a crowd in it, but pretty much...
Well, then...
You're in a minority if you're not dressed up.
Yeah, yeah, you are. If you go just like us, and especially if you don't wear a Star Wars shirt...
Right.
You are shunned.
Yeah.
Really?
No, you're not. No, you're not shunned. But what I'm saying is you are the minority if you're not.
Well, that crowd, that one was about 50,000. The one in Anaheim, I think, was 80,000. And the one this last year in Orlando, I think, was like 86, almost 90 or something like that. Yeah, my first one I went to was like 30,000 people. And it was like, oh, okay, I can walk up and do whatever the hell I want to and take whatever picture I want to. And now it's like. Just insane, man. It's fun. I mean, like, that many people is quite,
that
quite
makes, ridiculous. That makes me remember the only time I went to Dallas Fan Days, and, you know, everybody's dressed up as Deadpool, or they're dressed up as some character, or they're wearing their fan shirt like Harry Potter. The Weasleys were there that year.
Yeah.
Marvel, DC, everything. And I was wearing my Black Label Society t-shirt, that Zach Wilde's band.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the guys that's working there, I guess he just worked at the convention center. He just looks at me and says, thank God someone normal. I was like, right on, man. Black Label Society.
Yeah, that, like, you know, it's, man, I remember one day I actually broke stride and wore a Monomarth t-shirt to to Celebration. And I got a lot of compliments on that. And, like, people would be like, hey, yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. I was like, thanks, man. I just had to break. I'd worn a Star Wars t-shirt every day, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I had to break stride just a little bit, just to kind of like, be just a wee different or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and going back to what I was talking about earlier about the, kind of like menu buying what panels you want to go to. The reason why I like that idea is because, like me, I woke up at 4 a.m. I got up at 4. I got up earlier than that because I got to the convention center at 4 a.m. to get into the Last Jedi panel. And so, and like I said, and I got in an overflow room. I got in like, I think it's like, and like I said, it doesn't matter which overflow room it is, but I got in the overflow room, which was still cool. I got to watch it on a big screen there and whatnot. Right. But, you know, I don't mind paying an extra $10, $15, $20 to get into a panel to be like, oh, okay, well, I've got a seat here, and now I don't have to go sitting out all night long and wait to go stand in line. Just because essentially what you did whenever I got up there at 4 o'clock in the morning, I got in line only to get into another line, only to get into another line, basically. Because I got there at 4 o'clock in the morning to get in line, so that way I could go walk from there to stand in the hallway, and then stand in the hallway again, and then finally go inside.
Unless they get just really exorbitant on the... But yeah, I definitely would prefer to pay for a panel rather than spend, because time's money too.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're not getting you're spending the money to fly out there, spending the money for a room, and you're just sitting in line for most of your time, better be a really rewarding panel that you get to see.
If you get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and like, if you get a ticket for it, and so, you know, like, they gave out wristbands. I got my wristband for my Last Jedi panel up there right underneath the Millennium Falcon. And it's, you know, if they do it like that to where you just go and they send you either your wristbands or your, because what happens is, like, say my badge comes in the mail. Mm-hmm. If they do that and send me my wristbands along with, you know, whatever panels I'm going to, which I doubt that they would do that because then people would have time to counterfeit the wristbands or whatnot. But so it'll probably be like something to where it's like, it'll be either like a chip inside the the passes, because I know SBCC has started doing that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, to where, like, I know San Diego, I've never been to San Diego, but from what I understand is, like, whenever people walk in and out of San Diego now, they have to badge in and badge out. And so it shows that they've been there that day or whatever.
Hmm.
And so, you know, you could always do that to where they chip the badge, and so they could scan your badge and be like, oh, okay, yeah, you've got a ticket for this event or whatever. So, and that might be what they do, man. That might be what they do, and I'm not opposed to that. Right. I'm not opposed to that. So, I'm already counting down the days of the next celebration.
Right.
I'm expecting. I have a feeling we'll hear something just right after the beginning of the year, probably something about like April or whatever, because that's about when they usually do it, and it gives you about a year. So,
oh, and there's Artist Alley there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can buy any Star Wars art you need or whatever, or have it commissioned.
Yeah.
To really? Draw for you.
Yeah.
That Tattoo Alley or Tattoo?
The Tattoo Pavilion.
Oh, really? Yeah. You get tattoos at Celebration.
Yeah.
Then they have a contest at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get Darth Vader mask tattooed on my face.
There you go.
I mean, just look what I got.
Look at here.
That'd be awesome.
So how's that for an answer to a question?
Yeah.
Pretty thorough.
Yeah. That's really thorough. That's pretty like a 30-minute answer.
Yeah. Nick, if you have any more questions, want more detail, just hit us up.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
And anybody that has questions, you know, fire away. You know, TBT Show on Twitter. And then it? TBT Show?
At
show.
TBT.
Yeah, at show. TBT.
Yeah, I think so.
At TBT Show on Twitter. And then TBT Show at gmail.com is our web address. And then we also have 2BT on Facebook. So
Facebook, where you can see me get eaten by a shark.
Which was funny. I hadn't watched it all the way through until it went on Facebook that I was on.
God,
I was
like, I'm scared. Definitely go check that out. Because laugh at me all you want. Because I've always had a fear of sharks, man. Since I was a little kid.
I had no idea you were scared of sharks, man.
It goes back to where, you know, the Scholastic Book Fair, right?
Yeah.
And one of the books I bought, I remember, and I read it. For some reason, I read it and reread it. It's a shark attacks. There's real stories about shark attacks where people, like, getting their arms bit off and the soldiers in the water and everybody's getting picked off.
One by one.
And then, of course, Jaws coming out in 77.
Yeah.
I think that's 77, 78, something like that.
Yeah. It was before Star Wars.
It was always on 76, yeah. And it was always on TV. And I've always had this fear of the ocean being out and getting eaten by a shark. And my wife torments me because she loves the ocean.
Yeah.
Every chance we get to go down the coast, go down visit Galveston, and she always wants to be out in the water. And she gradually coaxes me in ankle deep water to knee deep. Next thing you know, I'm out there playing, having fun, jumping in the waves and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But always in my back of my mind is, I'm going to die here. So Dave puts this VR helmet on me. He told me about it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. So it's going to drop me down. So it drops you down in this cage. You're going on a mission, and it's dropping. Oh, look, stingrays. Oh, look at the pretty fish.
The jellyfish.
Oh, getting down farther. Oh, got to go through this cave. Oh, there's a big submarine down here that's broken open. So I'm like, okay, I guess we're going to probably go up pretty soon.
Yeah.
And then there's this voice comes in your ear and says, oh, there's a big object moving forward. And then I see Jaws coming at me. Oh, gosh. Yeah, my heart was racing. I'm laughing. But I was explaining to my daughter that I'm laughing because I'm so scared that's my nervous reaction is just to laugh at the fact that I'm going to have a heart attack on this couch because the shark's eating me. Have fun and laugh at my expenses. Dave asked me if he could put it up. I'm like, sure, go for it.
Like I said, I had to check to make sure just because I didn't want to.
No worries.
Yeah.
That was fun. I couldn't believe how good the quality of that was.
Yeah.
I've never done a virtual reality thing like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first it was kind of like a little bit blurry, and I'm watching TV with a thing on my head.
Yeah.
But they do a really good job of sucking you in, because by the time that cage I was being dropped in had got there, I could feel movement.
Oh, yeah.
Something bumped the cage. You can see in the video, at one point after I'm trying to calm down from the shark, so I reach out and I'm trying to grab the railing to my left there. I'm trying to reach out and grab the railing because I needed to calm down. Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Yeah. And I think the reason why it does that is because, it's complete and totally, sensory.
Yeah.
It takes away your vision and it takes away your hearing, and you're hearing only what's, you know, on the game, or you're only seeing what's on the game. And what's really fun is I really enjoy watching movies on that. Like last week after you left, I wound up leaving that night. I wound up watching Rogue One in 3D because you can play 3D movies on it. Oh, so I watched Rogue One in 3D on that, and I wound up like falling asleep because I started it too late. I wound up falling asleep. And it sucks too because I got all the way to the Battle of Scarif. And I fall asleep in the middle of the Battle of Scarif.
Aww.
And it's like, damn it. But anyways, I fall asleep and then I woke up and everything had timed out. So it's all shut off. I was freaked out a moment because I was like, oh crap, I'm blind. I can't see anything. Oh God. And I was like, oh wait, you got your VR helmet on, dumbass. Take off. Yeah, it's cool, man. It's definitely worth the money. And that's for PlayStation 4. But yeah, it's good times.
Cool.
So, yeah, and that's another thing. I just did a little quick addendum to the Celebration talk. You know, just about every night at Celebration, also they show the Star Wars movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Whenever me and Steven went, they did 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4, and then 5 and 6. And I think this last year they skipped like episode 1. I think they did 2 and 3, 4 and 5, and then 6, and then episode 7.
They need to do the machete order.
Yeah, they need to, man. They need to do the machete order. And that was another question we got.
Yeah, Ronnie, buddy from Missouri, big supporter of us early on, have got a lot of good feedback from a lot of the guys. And might as well take the opportunity. This is our 4th episode, but I want to thank Martin.
Yeah.
For letting us be on his side and putting us out.
Yes, thank y'all
very much. Nerdy Legion and Paul and all the other guys. Thank them for... Got a lot of good feedback from people.
Yeah.
Paul hates Star Wars, but he's still being supportive.
Oh, really?
No, he doesn't hate Star Wars. I'm just picking on him. He's not going to ever listen to this. Yeah. He doesn't listen to podcasts. He's in Maine.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a murder shed behind his house, though, so no, we're not going to go over there. No, he's a good guy.
Does he have a wood chipper like Fargo?
He's my supplier, man. He sends me books and books and books. And
oh, yeah.
He's a good guy. He just doesn't listen to podcasts.
Supports your habit.
Yeah. He doesn't listen to podcasts of people he knows.
No,
he just likes to talk on podcasts.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
But thank them for that. Yeah, but Ronnie Barron sent us a question about machete order, and apparently we inspired some people to go out and watch the Star Wars movies. This weekend. But Ronnie's wanting to know, okay, the machete order is, let's see here, so I get it right. I always mess it up.
Yeah.
It's New Hope. And then it's 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
Okay.
And it says, would you guys say, he says, the old version says, watch 4, 5, 2, 3, 6. Would you guys say the new order should be Rogue 1, then 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, and then go ahead and watch episode 7?
I really like that. I really like that order a lot. What do you think, Steve?
I don't know.
Because you hadn't heard that yet. So
4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
So what it does is...
Where do you put Rogue One in?
He said Rogue One before episode 4.
I don't know if I would want that, though. I don't know if I'd want Rogue One first, because you're not introduced to any of the main characters other than Grand Moff Tarkin and Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Princess Leia.
But you get Darth Vader at the very end.
You get Vader at the very end, which sets up what Vader should be. It was the eternal...
Badass.
Bad A, yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, I like it, but I think that maybe it could be 4 or 5. All right. So you got New Hope, Empire, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, then you jump forward to Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Yeah, there's no really other room for Rogue One in there other than at the beginning, is there?
No, not really. It wouldn't make sense any other way.
Yeah, so you'd have to put Rogue One in there first. So,
yeah, I like it just because it
sounds good.
Because I haven't done a complete and total marathon with all the movies since they've all been released. I'll take one day and just do, you know, a complete marathon where I just sit and watch 1 through 6. I haven't done that with the addition of 7 or Rogue One yet.
Yeah,
that's a long day.
That is a long day, but it's an awesome day, man. Because what you do is you just start off like early in the morning. Say whenever you get up, like 8 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, around noon, after you've gone through like a movie and a half, you order pizza and then you go pick up your pizza or have it delivered. And so you just eat on that the rest of the day. Yeah. And then you get up and, you know, like me, I got to get up and take the dog out periodically and stuff. So yeah, you just sit around watching Star Wars and just chilling, man. And it's a good day. That's, you know, it's what I plan on doing whenever I retire.
I'm thinking more of this machete order.
Yeah.
One is not in there.
No.
No, they dropped down one.
They dropped it. Because it really doesn't... The setup is, it's making it the... It's really making it... How would you explain it? The setup is that Anakin is the focus throughout.
Yeah.
It shows you up to the encounter between Luke and Darth Vader,
yeah.
his father, and then it drops back, well, how did... Okay, his father's supposed to be dead. Well, then it takes you back and shows how he became...
Yeah.
Well, then it also is like, because you don't ever get introduced to the Emperor until Empire Strikes Back. I almost call it Episode 2, but that's Episode 5. You don't get introduced to the Emperor until Empire Strikes Back, where you actually see the Emperor. He gets mentioned in Rogue One. Not Rogue One. He gets mentioned in A New Hope, or whatever, where he says that, you know, the Imperial Senate is no longer, or whatever. But this way, you watch 4, and then you watch 5, and then you go back, and it's also giving you, like, well, this is who Anakin was as a Jedi. But it is also introducing you to the Emperor and giving you backstory on the Emperor, because at that point in time, it just kind of, like, throws him in, and you're like, oh, okay, well, he... So, I still need to do the machete order at some point in time. I haven't done the official machete order. But, yeah, it's... I like the idea of it. I do like the idea of it. And I know people hate on Jar Jar, but I don't hate on Jar Jar. But, you know, you're not losing anything, really, other than Qui-Gon being a badass and...
True.
Yeah, Liam Neeson.
One has no bearing on the storyline whatsoever when you think about it.
It does.
I mean, it has a bearing on the storyline, but you can watch the other ones and not miss one.
Yeah.
Right.
There's nothing carries from one into the rest of them other than... Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
you just don't see any being...
Right. It just kind of gives you the beginning of the turmoil for Vader, really, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know...
Growing up enslaved.
Yeah, everybody's always all like, well, why would he be a whiny little kid? And I was like, well, we don't know what Hitler was like, but he might have been an awful, selfish, whiny little kid also. Because who wouldn't, you know, somebody thinks that the universe should be in their vision, why would they not be whiny and selfish?
Yeah.
You know, it's... It's my thought on it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think we answered the question. We divided over whether Rogue One should be the beginning, but definitely.
No, I'm with you. I think Rogue One should be the beginning.
I actually watched something this past week that I thought was really cool, and I got a new passion in life I think that I want to try to do at some point in time. And it was this metal detecting show. And it's really cool because they went to, it was in the Ardennes Forest.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of
metal laying around inside the Ardennes Forest, because that's not just World War I, but also World War II and whatever countless, you know, encounters happened in the Ardennes. Ardennes, however you want to pronounce it. But, yeah, it was really neat, man, because these guys were just going around with metal detectors and just, like, scanning, and they'd pop stuff up, like... And so they get the stuff, and then they kind of clean it a little bit and show you. And, you know, one was like a U.S. canteen, and the German stuff, you know, German stamped everything, usually like the front and the back of something. Yeah. They would stamp everything. And, you know, like casings from flares to, they found tracks from a AK-AK, an anti-aircraft Panzer that's basically like a big armored half track with a big anti-aircraft gun on the back of it. Yeah. And they found all these tracks from that were scattered all over the place. And so you're thinking about, like, well, how did that get scattered all over the place? Did that, you know? And then they also found the butt end of a shell casing from a M1 Abrams tank, 75 millimeter shell, just the butt end casing of it that was all dented and stuff. And you're like, wow, dude, that's kind of crazy to find that stuff, because for that to have been dented and kind of just a piece of it, then how did that get dented? Did it get dented in an explosion?
It wasn't the M1, because that's the current version. So it would have been what, the Sherman tank, maybe?
What's that?
The M1
Abrams. Did I say Abrams?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just
so
yeah.
That's pretty significant, because that's time travel
man. I probably did say, I did say Abrams. Yeah, I meant Sherman, because I don't know what the Abrams has, but I know 75 millimeter two tanks, even in World War II standards, was small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think the Panzer had a 105 or something. And so, yeah. I figured I'd bring that up, because I know that touches everybody else's little kind of nerddom as the history part or whatever.
Yes.
Right.
And, yeah, it was really cool, man. I was like, oh, I want to do that, because I've always wanted to go over there anyways. I always tell everybody, like, one of my retirement vacations that I want to take is one day I want to go to Europe, obviously. But I want to start in Saint Mariglise, because every June 6th in Saint Mariglise, they still hang a parachute from the bell tower off the church from where the 101st dropped in. Where the 101st dropped in, one of the guys, you know, of course, they got scattered all over the place. And one of the guys got dropped in. He landed in Saint Mariglise, but he got caught. Mm-hmm. His parachute got caught on the bell tower.
Actually, it was the 501st Regiment, though, wasn't it?
506. Yeah. Yeah, but he got hit. Yeah, it's close, though, man. Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah. 506 PIR, man. But yeah, the guy got hung on the bell tower, so they hang that on the bell tower. And so eventually what I would like to do is go there, be in Saint Mariglise on the 6th, and then do, for sure, Omaha and Utah beaches. Those don't have to be on the 6th. I just want to be in Saint Mariglise on the 6th to see the parachute hanging from the bell tower. But do Omaha and Utah and just whenever, and then just wind up making my way through, like, kind of like following the course of the Allies through Europe and stuff. And not only just doing World War II, but seeing World War I sides as well, because some of those World War I sides are, you know, forever change the landscape from the amount of artillery and stuff. Right. And in fact, there's still parts of France that you cannot enter because the ordnance is still laying in the ground. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what's crazy, man, because that's over 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. And in fact, that was one of the things they found on that that show. They had were using, you know, their metal detectors, and one of the things they found was a British incendiary bomb that hadn't gone off.
Yeah, you don't want
to. So they said that, you know, I guess there's actually like a protocol that you do whenever you come across something like that over there. They report alert the officials and report it and mark it and alert the officials or whatever. But yeah, man, it's like, what's that stuff they used in World War? They still use it all the time. Thermite.
Oh, choo-choo train.
Yeah.
Maybe you hear the choo-choo train?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one I built last night.
But yeah, man, I was like, yeah, that would be really cool with seeing, you know, like Nijmegen and Bastogne.
I saw a neat article last week, you know, during the bombing of London, the Blitz. You know, they had to have a lot of people with stretcher corps and stuff to rush to wherever somebody got hit. And they, after the war, they had all these stretchers, metal stretchers that would have like a little mattress or something on top of it. So it was actually like an interlinked mesh that would hold people up. And instead of just doing away with them, because why do you need all these stretchers after, you know, you're not facing anything like that? What the people did in a lot of places in London is along the streets and in front of houses and buildings, they made fences out of them. And they're on there. I saw the picture and I was like, well, that's just a fence. And then I looked closer and said, no, I see what's going on. That's really ingenious, because that's always there. That's always a memory of what people went through. And even still, there's still parts of London, I think, where there's still debris or
still areas of stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I know in World War One, you know, at that point in time, England only had the British Expeditionary Forces. Their big pride and joy was in the Navy. You know,
right.
They always been touted on their navies. They didn't really have much, but they had, you know, they had the first, I think it's the Battle of the Marne, where, you know, the Germans attacked and they just mowed them down with machine guns. And all of a sudden the Germans sent another giant wave of just people and like wound up almost decimating the British ranks. And that was all that they had. I think they had like 100,000 troopers in their British Expeditionary Forces. So they were hurting for people. So they had to go on like this hardcore recruiting thing. And one of the ways that they were doing it is they were paying women to go around and pin white feathers on men of age being able to serve in the military. And so other people and other women would see that and they would just basically like accost them for being cowards and not joining the military. And I was like, dude, that's freaking crazy, man. Like, you know, I guess it got its job done or whatever. Right. Yeah.
That was a brutal war.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it was, man. If the history talk bores y'all, then
fast forward.
Suck it up.
Buttercup.
Yeah, right. But
anyway, so you had a new segment you wanted us to do this week? Or is that another week?
We can do it this week.
You can edit this if you don't want to. I came prepared is why I'm asking.
Okay, let's go for it, Steven. I had this idea for the segment that every once in a while, doesn't have to be every week,
that we kind of bring up something that either, like, we're really, really, really love, big fans of. Of course, if you haven't figured it out, Star Wars is kind of dominant in this podcast, but there's also other things that help shape us and that we love now, be it like a cartoon you watch when you're a kid or something you enjoy doing now, or just a kind of hamburger from a certain joint. You know, it could be anything. It could be anything. Something that you love, something you enjoy, or something that you aren't crazy about necessarily right now, but used to be something that you really liked. Okay. For example, all three of us, we used to really be into the band Queensrÿche.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I don't listen to them very often now, but back in the day, listened to them all the time. We got to see them in concert in Dallas at Reunion Arena. It's a blast. Got to see Operation Mindcrime performed in full. Not knowing it was going to happen.
It was on
the Silent Lucidity tour.
Yeah.
Right? The Empire tour. And next thing you know, it kind of went quiet and black. And here comes Jeff Tate out there. Yeah. And they start that drum beat. And then the entire thing. And that was a huge highlight for me.
Yeah.
And so we were thinking about that the other day, talking about it. I made my wife sit and listen. Listen to this song.
Yeah.
Listen to this song. They're so good. They're so good. So I go back and it brings joy. That's something that I love. Even though I don't listen to them all right now, but if I ever think about it and I go back, it puts a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, there it is. Man.
That's before the
band. This makes you want to stick your hand in there and go,
way back before the band broke up. Yep. And there became two Queensrÿche and they fight all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's okay. So that's going to be my love thing right there.
All right.
Y'all have any memories of that?
I remember one of the times between Suicidal Tendencies and Queensrÿche.
Right.
We ran out to the restroom.
Yeah.
And you came out laughing and said, dude, some guy just handed a joint over the top of the thing. Is here, man? You want
something?
Me.
That was Dave.
It was Dave? Yeah. Okay.
I ran out.
How long ago it was.
Another one was whenever we came out of the building. It was over at the old Reunion Arena.
Right.
And we came out of the building. I rode down there with Michael.
Yeah.
And we got lost coming out, man.
Yes.
And we get on this, I don't even know the road, man. I couldn't even begin to tell you what road it is.
It's all changed.
But we get over this overpass.
Right.
And as we're going over the overpass, we just see the wrong way.
Wrong way. We crossed the highway.
I should have gone left. I should have gone left instead of right. I didn't see the sign. And I never drove down in Dallas. Yeah. This was back in the day that you didn't have GPS. I mean, actually had to look at maps.
Yeah, yeah, they had maps.
And it was scary because it was like a three or four lane highway, a ramp coming, an overpass, you said, with a curve. I can still see the headlights coming. And I think
we just kept going.
Did I keep going?
I kept going to the other side because it was almost too late. To where we're like, let's just keep on powering through it.
Grand Prix.
And then I remember once we got over to the other side, we were in South Dallas, and South Dallas is not a place, especially there in the 90s. Is a place that you didn't want to be after dark. And I remember we sat in your car for about 5 minutes arguing on who's going to go in to ask for directions to get the hell out of there because we stopped at this gas station. I can still see the gas station in my head, too. It wasn't even a gas station. It was just a little corner store, a little convenience store.
Yeah.
And it had bars all over the windows and stuff. And we're sitting there arguing about, scary. I don't want to go in. You go in.
We were lost.
I think you wound up going in, Mike.
We got lost in Houston, my wife and I, once like that.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Like Houston, that's one of the reasons why I dislike Houston. I won't use my full terms. That's one of the reasons why I dislike Houston is we played, back when I was a musician, I was a professional musician at one point in time. When we played in Houston, we played at this place called Fitzgerald's. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like Houston had no zoning whatsoever. So it was there was Fitzgerald's, apparently this pretty large size club and Insane Clown Posse was playing there. I think either the night after we were or the next week or something. And it's a pretty large size music venue. And it was just kind of slammed right in the middle of this residential area.
Hmm.
It was kind of crazy. I mean, there was other businesses around us, but there was a block away. It was houses. So you don't have that in Dallas where you have your club districts in Dallas,
right.
like the West End or Deep Ellum or Greenville Avenue and stuff. But even Greenville Avenue, you have a good three or four blocks between where the clubs and the housing starts. But yeah, it was something I love, man. I think with that, I think I might just like start picking out stuff from my collection of stuff that I love. I don't have one this week because I kind of sucked and I just now came up with that. And I was looking at all these vintage figures here and I was like, hey, you know what? I'll pick up this guy right here because he is one of my favorites.
You're welcome.
Exactly. Big Butta got this
Christmas
one.
Christmas 2016.
Yeah. Big Butta got this one for me at Christmas 2016.
Yeah.
He's a... so that way everybody knows what the hell I'm talking about. Is the Bespin Luke from 1980. Kenner line, of course. The vintage figures.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, this was one of those that I played with. I played with all the Luke figures a lot. Like everybody knows, I've said multiple times, I'm a Luke Skywalker guy. But this one, always really, really, really enjoyed this one.
Hold him up here, Dave. There you go.
I liked his brown fatigues. It was always this one and the Hoth gear one right there.
Yeah, yeah. He's awesome.
Over. Oh, he's right next to Han. Dude. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but these two, and the Hoth gear Luke, he looked always a lot different, like the rebel officer and just regular rebel trooper Luke's, figures. Like they are, you know, brown and white and just purely all white, but this one he had like the kind of brownish, tannish, grayish coat or whatever and stuff. And so those two are always like my favorites from the Empire Strikes Back line.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at my Hoth Luke. No, he's got good paint. I was like, damn it, I need to replace him.
It looks clean.
Yeah. Well, it's because I restore them all.
I think he's one of our original ones from where.
Well, no, he's behind it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's behind that.
He's behind it sitting down because his legs are kind of wonky and his head's been all chewed up by the Biscuit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Biscuit.
Where we've got another one also that was probably in better condition than that one, but I think that one was mine since the dog had chewed on it. So
very much telling, dude.
Yeah.
Stuff was all lumped into the same pile.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember, like, we used to have arguments over that, and Mom would write our D or S on the foot or whatever, or paint it with nail polish.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this week, my love is the Bespin Luke. He's just, you know, A, he's Luke Skywalker, and B, he's always been one of my favorite figures. Probably my second favorite. Like I said, my first favorite was the Return of the Jedi Luke, but we already discussed that on the first episode, right. So I won't use him this time around.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. Down to me?
Yeah, down to you.
Right, I'm going to go a little bit left field here. You know what I love?
What?
Peanut butter pancakes.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Okay, explain.
It's not much to explain to it. You cook your pancake, right?
Right.
As soon as you take it off the griddle, slap some peanut butter on it, fold it in half like a taco. Okay. It's got to be hot.
Gotta be hot.
Can't cool them down. You can't microwave it later. Gotta be fresh off the griddle.
Oh, it just melts.
So it melts that peanut butter
melts. No. Just pick it up and eat it like a taco. You can add syrup.
It's like adding hot sauce to your taco.
My mom did this thing when I was a kid where she'd take the peanut butter and put about an even amount of syrup, maybe not even an even amount, probably like a third ratio.
Yeah.
A third of a ratio to the syrup. Put it in a pot and melt it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd get toast and she'd pour that all over the toast. And it was this perfect mix of syrup and peanut buttery goodness.
Oh, wow,
sounds
dude.
Good.
And it's like, the flavor is, it's not too strong of either of them. It's like a perfect blending of the two. Super sweet.
Yeah.
The syrup. And it was just like the most decadent thing you can give a little 7-year-old.
Yeah.
It's like, here's some sugar. But that's good stuff.
I start
every once in a while, I'll go back and I'll try to make that. But throw it on the pancake.
Just put a little bit. It doesn't have to be a lot because you put a lot of this in on a roll back on.
Right.
Because it melts to like liquid peanut butter.
You can do it on a waffle too, though.
Yeah,
you can do it on a waffle. I never tried it on a waffle. I always just did it on pancakes because when we were kids, my dad likes Cairo syrup.
Right.
On his pancakes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the dark brown Cairo syrup. And I didn't like it.
So you did the peanuts.
And we had pancakes every Sunday morning.
So that's something from your past.
Peanut butter. I still eat today.
You still do it today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Peanut butter pancakes are amazing.
So it just makes you happy.
It just makes me happy. I love it when I get peanut butter pancakes.
Yeah.
And I haven't had them in a while, so.
Now go home and make some.
Jesse, we need to get peanut butter mix. No, not peanut butter mix. Pancake mix.
Make your own peanut butter.
I got a fan of it.
Now let's get hipstery.
you go and you grind up and make your own flour. Cow, because we have an uncle that has
that's a little
cow,
too much.
And then go find some peanuts and grind them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is the dairy cow?
Sydney.
Oh, really?
I did not know. He did have one. Yeah. I know the last time I was up at his house, he had one he milked every day.
Oh, really?
He didn't grow peanuts anymore, does he?
No.
No.
He just grows pecans.
He's still not that many
people that grow peanuts around here anymore. They used to grow them a lot over in Aubrey.
Over in Aubrey, because Dan ran that.
Yeah, peanut dryer. Peanut dryer. That's a dirty, dirty job.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I imagine.
Yeah.
You would literally, they'd bring... Okay, let's get boring by agriculture talk here. We worked at the peanut dryer.
We can always cut it out.
It's one of the only ones. It's only the one of the only ones in the country that was actually building, made out of Carnegie steel.
Yeah,
been there for decades. And basically, when you dig the peanuts, you're digging the peanuts out of the ground.
Yeah,
and you get a trailer full of dirt with peanuts.
Yeah,
and then you'd hook it up. They pull through with the trailer. We'd hook up, unhook the trailer and lift the front wheels up with a, like a crane, like, or a lift, a winch system, and have the, and then dump everything into this pit that would then go up on a conveyor belt and get kind of shaken and the dirt would get kind of sifted out. Yeah. And then it'd get dumped into this big holding, what would you call it? Like a big box.
Yeah.
That you would then dry, the heat would blow through. And dry the peanuts and cure them so you could then ship them off. But when some of these guys, they had trouble, I guess, with their equipment. And literally, if you did not hold your breath at the right time, you would literally couldn't breathe. You would inhale dirt. I would go home every night coughing up dirt from the lungs because if you didn't do it just right. Yeah, that's how bad it was.
Oh,
it was disgusting.
Sounds like it.
And then copperhead snakes would fall out. And
yeah, I'm out.
It's an interesting gig for a while.
Yeah, where you are with sharks, Steve is with snakes.
Yeah,
really.
I am with spiders.
Yeah. Spiders, the spider one.
See, I can kill a spider with my thumb, dude. Just smash.
Right.
They don't. For some reason, they never bug me. Snakes, yeah. I'm
scared of snakes, but I can deal with them.
I can deal with them.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
I'm going to deal with it. I can't. Terrified me, man. Terrified of them. I don't know why.
Because they can bite you.
Yeah, they can kill you.
Inject you full of poison.
Yeah, peanut butter pancakes. They're good. Everybody, if you're listening, try them once in your life.
Yeah.
And then write us and tell us what you think of them.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. I'm David.
I'm Michael.
Steven.
2BT, signing off.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Dave wanted me to add a little request to you guys out there to please drop by iTunes and give us a review and some stars. Hopefully you can feel it kind enough in your heart to give us 5 stars. I want to thank Ronnie for doing a review. Really appreciate it. And if you don't feel like it, then don't worry about it because we really don't care, but it's something you're supposed to do. Apparently. Until next time, see you later.
'Cause it's like, ooh, yeah, man. That's.
I can't remember this week.
Hey, where's the fuzzy taco?
Let's just be surprised. There's Mandalorians. There's clone troopers. There's stormtroopers. There's Jedi. There's Sith. Imperial officers. Rebel troopers.
Suck it up.
Buttercup.
All right.
I'm gonna die here. I'm gonna have a heart attack on this couch because the shark's eating me.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean.
Anyway.
Yeah. Bump, 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 bump.
Burp. Burp, burp. Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
Yeah. It's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real. Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one Dave.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, it's just fun. I'm texting. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feet are better than your feet.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go. Good. Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Big guy. How dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Oh, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gun. I don't want to admit defeat, though.
Well, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda, Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. This is a good guy, this is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it.
Like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, the wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.